Have you always known that you're on a soul path? And have you wondered how to gain real insight into the steps along your own unique journey? Welcome everyone, I'm Sarah Main, and thank you for joining me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. It's great to have you join me. Damayanti means deep peace and calm. Damayanti sheds a light for your soul through the gift of wisdom that shines in the beautiful and universal language of Sanskrit. Damayanti is the show that speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and enriches your soul. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm Sarah Main, and this is Damayanti, the show for your soul, and it's wonderful to have you along. Thanks for joining me. And today I'm going to be talking about coming home to yourself, coming home to yourself, the secret to true empowerment. And it's a funny thing, you know, we can often have this sort of niggling feeling that there's something more or maybe something missing in our lives, even though we can be in a stable situation, happy, no apparent loss or lack on the outside, and yet there's just this sort of niggling feeling. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today, coming home to yourself, the secret to true empowerment. And let's start with a very beautiful and famous quote from T.S. Eliot. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. And I'll read it again because I got froggy. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. I was talking to a friend recently, and in all the ups and downs that seem to trouble the world at the moment, she finds it comforting, really comforting, to take refuge in what she knows to be true about herself. And she finds this sort of calm, inner calm and peace, a sort of solace and a quietude that mindfulness and meditation brings her. And she said, these create a space which is far from the madding crowd. I mean, of course, that's a famous statement, far from the madding crowd. And she said that creates a space from all of that jangly noise and unsettled energy. And she said it's real and solid and dependable. And then she used this phrase, it's like coming home to myself. And I found this description sort of struck a chord, coming home to myself. It's such a lovely, it's a beautiful way of expressing that universal yearning that we all have. That sort of, I don't know, there's just this sort of thirst. It's quiet. It's often not sort of noisy and demanding. It's just this quiet yearning to come home, as it were. And it's to find a yearning to find a way to a place of peace within ourselves, a place of deep connection to other people and of deep connection to the world around us. And we know it when it's satisfied, when we drink from that water that we're thirsting after. And like I say, it may be a sort of a quiet yearning, almost a sort of a niggle, as it were. But that's what we're talking about here, because it's so important in the busyness of life, and our whole lives are sort of projected outward these days, and we're looking at screens and we're busy and we're running around, we're driving around, we're doing all sorts of stuff. To take that time to connect within opens up a whole other world, and this yearning can be quite quiet and it can get lost in the busyness of life externally. So this yearning, this finding a way to a deep peace within ourselves is often talked about like a journey, because it seems to start from one place and one state of being and then end up in another, strangely enough. That's how it's described. And so, over the millennia, there's been all these incredible stories, these great epic stories about journeys. Of course, there's Plato, the Greek philosopher, and he talked about the allegory of the cave, the allegory of the cave, very famous. I've done a show on it, in fact, and it's in my book. And that's where the liberated prisoner in his allegory of the cave journeys from the state of limitation, of bondage, in fact, as a prisoner, to one of freedom and the journey from darkness to light. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And this journey home is symbolically told again and again in many stories and traditions. The wisdom traditions have been trying to tell us forever about this and throw light on it and teach us and show us so that we needn't feel lost. And sometimes this journey is described as sort of perilous, it's fraught with danger, and the character in the story traveling needs to use their strength and their wit to overcome all these perils and dangers and challenges to eventually arrive safely at their destination. So I thought, oh, well, look, let's look at some of the other examples so that we can really absorb ourselves in this concept of the journey, coming home to myself. Because these stories do teach us and do help us connect without overthinking. And I think that's part of the problem these days is we just overthink everything. So firstly, we've got Plato's allegory of the cave. And the second one is Odysseus in the Odyssey. The Odyssey, another great ancient epic Greek tale. Odysseus and his companions face all these mortal dangers. I mean, terrible life and death situations. They face beguiling temptations on their way home after 10 years of fighting in the Trojan War. So they're away 10 years fighting. Of course, there's no Zoom and internet and Skype and instant chats these days. So they go, no one knows. Excuse me, no one knows whether they're alive or dead. They have messengers, but that's a slightly ropey situation as well. So you have Odysseus traveling back from the Trojan War, and that whole epic tale is symbolic of this journey home. And even when he gets home, his trials aren't over because he still has to conquer all these sort of parasitic suitors that have moved into his home to try and compete to marry Penelope, because everyone thinks his wife Penelope is now widowed because they assume he's dead after 10 years. And so all these suitors come in and they stay in his house and they eat his food and drink his wine and all that sort of thing. And he's got to get rid of those before he's actually finally home. It's an incredible story. And then there's the prodigal son from the Bible. The prodigal son is starving. He's reduced to stealing dry husks that are normally food for pigs. And then it says he comes to himself and remembers. That's very significant. He comes to himself and remembers. And even the servants, and what does he remember? He remembers that even the servants in his father's house have abundant food. And he's starving. So he arises, he gets up and begins his journey home. So that's another journey. So we've had Plato's allegory of the cave, the prisoner journeying from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom. We've had Odysseus journeying home with all the perils and temptations involved in that, and then having to clear out his own home when he gets there. And then, then in Pilgrim's Progress, which is another allegorical tale, the pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress is not exactly coming home to his home, but he has this vision that he's in complete bondage and he has this vision of a higher dwelling place, a vision really of his true home. And so he gets up and this drives him. He leaves his home of bondage, which is a home, but he suddenly sees it's a home of bondage and delusion. And he gets up and this drives him on in a journey past so many perils and temptations and diversions, similar to Odysseus, actually. And he faces challenges like the City of Destruction, Doubting Castle, the Valley of Humiliation, and others. So again, another journey passing all these and getting through all these challenges and diversions and temptations. And then even the Grimm's fairy tales, the Grimm's brothers, the Brothers Grimm fairy tales. You've got Hansel and Gretel, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, and all these other characters lost in dark forests. In some way, they're divided from where they truly want to be, and they're exiled from their homes, and they yearn to find their way back. So these stories, there's tons of them, and they've been around for millennia. Well, just consider these stories are all our story. They're allegories of our own journey through life. So this is true, even for those of us with warm, loving families and comfortable homes surrounded by a close community of friends, there's a niggling feeling that something is missing. Something's missing. There's just something. You can't quite put your finger on it. It's a common experience, and those who seek spiritual wisdom and fulfillment particularly recognize this. And that sense of there being something more to life can strike those whose circumstances, really, from a worldly point of view, are pretty good. So another friend who had a happy upbringing with a close family and wide circle of friends told me how, even as a boy, he felt this lack. He told me that he always felt this need to find someone who could tell him how everything really worked, a source of wisdom, someone who could explain the mysteries of why people believed what they believed and did what they did. For example, he was really frustrated that words would slip from his mouth, even though he didn't intend or want to say these words. And he found it hard to stop that, and he had to be very disciplined, and he wondered why. So that's the overall picture of this coming home to myself. This has been the human experience for millennia, and there are all these great stories that teach us and help us and guide us. And when that feeling of there being a greater, richer, deeper place prompts inquiry, that's when the journey begins. And there can be an initial period of reading, of studying, listening to people, teachers, questioning. And sometimes it can seem a bit random and haphazard, unfocused. But it's a very important point here. Every step, no matter how halting or vague, actually bears fruit. It doesn't matter. Every single step you take, one moment, one reminder, one thing, is a step, and it actually bears fruit. And actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, it's in chapter 2, Krishna says that no effort on this path is ever lost. No effort on this path is ever lost. And I learned that a long time ago. I heard that statement, and I found it of great comfort and encouragement that no effort is ever, ever lost. And Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And that's incredibly good news. But remember, notice, we have to act first. We must ask, we have to seek, we have to knock, we have to get up and take the steps ourselves. And every time we do that, any effort to do that is never lost. So we don't even have to knock very loudly. You know, the door is open, and often the paths there lead us to other doors. So it's all very positive, and all we need to do is stir ourselves, wake up and stir ourselves to begin this journey to find our way back to ourselves. And look, there are lots of teachers and paths, and I'm going to stop now for a break. And then after the break, I'm going to go over some of the ways that these sort of paths can take us, because it's different depending on our nature, and we have to find what works for us. And I'll share with you the best advice I was ever given in relation to that. So we'll be back soon after the break.
When a caterpillar spins its cocoon, it undergoes a radical change. It lets go of the parts of its past that hold it back and reforms itself as an entirely new and beautiful creature. Are you in need of a similar rebirth? Dr. Tasselfaith is your priestess of metamorphosis, guiding you as you spin your cocoon and realize your greatest change. Metamorphosis. Lead with your magic, trust the unseen, experience quantum leaps. Live on TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Damayanti, the show for your soul, with me, Sara Main. And today we're talking about coming home to yourself. It's actually a really important topic because as humans, we all experience at some point, or many do, this niggling feeling that something's missing. Just a little lack of, we can't quite put our finger on it. And it can lead us to, once we experience that and sort of embrace it, it can lead us to really searching and questioning. And of course, as I was talking about before the break, all these stories over the millennia in all different traditions, speaking about this journey coming home. And interestingly enough, the stories often depict the home as the wife being at home. There's some hero that's gone out, and what is at home is the wife, and the wife is symbolic of true connection with yourself, that source of love, that source of sustenance. And it's depicted as the wife at home, the woman at home, which is a different take on the sort of old-fashioned view of the little woman at home doing all the domestic work. It's actually symbolic of that source of true love and sustenance and completion. And it's depicted as the feminine quality. So, you know, when we stir ourselves and start really looking and searching and questioning, we have to take that first step. As the Bible said, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall open, ask and it shall be given. I think I'm misquoting badly, but anyway, you get the idea. But it's interesting because once we start really searching, there are plenty of ways that we can find guidance because the teacher arises to meet the student. So when we ask, the metaphorical teacher appears, the answers appear. It may be in the form of a person, you know, in a book or an actual person in front of you, but the answers are there. They can just come to you, and they come with a certain quiet, strong authority. So the answers are always there, but we have to ask first. We have to knock on the door first. We have to stir ourselves, wake up and seek and ask questions. And the wise are always eager to help. It's very good news. It's intensely positive. They're always there to offer a helping hand, share their wisdom with anyone who asks. And of course, the teachings, the teachers, their style differs too. And there are three sort of main approaches, and I've grouped them together. So the first one is more contemplative inner practices of meditation, of mindfulness, that sort of inner Yes, well, I think it's just the easiest way to say it is that inner contemplation, that inner pathway. That is one energy, that one resonance. Then there's the other path, which is the path really of devotion, of prayer, of worship, that's more emotionally based, not emotions often as we consider them, but it is very much of the heart. It doesn't mean the other one with contemplation isn't connected to the heart, but the energy isn't so obvious in that area. So we have the contemplative inner practices, meditation, mindfulness. Then we have the second path, which is really the path of devotion, of prayer, of worship. And then we have a third path, which is the path of action, of ceremonies, of regular measures, of daily activities. So we have devotion, action, and it's sort of intellect, but not in this heady, dry way, the inner contemplation. And that's where the energies, all three sort of contain the other two, if you like. It's just the volume, the resonance is higher in one rather than the other. And that's what gives it its characteristic nature that you can identify. So we have these three paths. And then, in fact, there is a paths that combine all three, that combine the contemplation, the devotion, and the action in one. So there's all these different paths, and all these paths are designed to overcome inertia and unhelpful habits and to nurture new ways of living, and they are purifying and healthful. And a key element of these paths is to awaken and strengthen memory. And in my own experience, my wonderful teachers tried to imbibe their teaching and set out simple and practical exercises that supported learning, and I found myself enthusiastic to incorporate these exercises in my life. And I experienced the benefits of greater happiness, energy, enthusiasm, a greater capacity to do things and encompass things and embrace things, greater efficiency, greater steadiness and calmness, and lots, lots more. The more I practiced, this became evident. So time and again, though, the biggest barrier I found was distractions, just of day-to-day living. It's natural, but, you know, I wanted to stay connected, and I, you know, I'd get busy and I'd just simply forget. And I wanted to remember. So I tried sticky notes on bathroom mirrors, regular alarms on my phone, even pre-mobile phones. I'd set an alarm, a little alarm clock. I'd have notes around the place just to keep prompting the memory to come back, wake up, stay present, be conscious, lift that consciousness, lift that self-awareness. And one of the best pieces of advice I was ever, ever, ever given from a very young age, I was actually 10 years old, came in three parts. And to me, this is the secret to true empowerment. This is so simple a practice, and yet it is the secret to true empowerment. And heavens above, there's enough on empowerment these days. But sometimes this empowerment's tough and hard, and it's not connected to yourself. Real empowerment is not related to external conditions. It's you. It's a connection to yourself. So this best advice I was ever, ever given was to fall still, remember who you are, and give full attention to the matter in hand. Fall still, remember who you are, and give full attention to the matter in hand. So this is incredibly powerful. And I should just add, the fall still, come to quiet, just simple, come to peace, take a deep breath, feel your feet on the ground, come into the moment right now. Fall still. And then remember who you are. That's not a mental cogitation, a mental activity. Just connect and let memory come. Remember who you are. That presence, not an identity, that presence, that true universal presence. And then give full attention to the matter in hand, whatever it is. You could be washing the dishes. You could be driving. You could be writing. Whatever it is, give full attention to the matter in hand. Fall still, Remember who you are. Give full attention to the matter in hand. I practiced that, and I do to this day. I practiced it especially when I was teaching and I had difficult situations. I would remember that advice and I would put it consciously into practice. And it was magical because every single time, especially in difficult situations in teaching, the answer, the response, what to do next was right there. And the situation was always resolved harmoniously, beautifully, really fantastic. Every single time, I could never have thought up solutions. They presented and I followed them. And they were always simple and immediate. Fall still, remember who you are, give full attention to the matter in hand. Now that's coming home to yourself. That's the key to true empowerment. And practice it. Pick a time in the day, you know, get started. It's three simple steps. Pick a time in the day. You don't need fancy equipment, just yourself in the present moment. Pick a time, I don't know, before a meal, after a meal, 10:30 in the morning, set an alarm. When you first wake up, when you swing your legs out of bed and your feet hit the ground, practice then. Fall still. Remember who you are. Give full attention to the matter in hand. And make a regular habit of practicing. It'll strengthen your memory and you'll find yourself remembering at other times and then it starts flowing into other times in the day. But the main point is strengthening the memory, and this is a vital part of assimilating the teachings of the wise. So all the efforts I made to strengthen my own memory have borne fruit, and the access to inner stillness and focused attention became natural, and it was a good habit. So my vision for Dhammayanti was to signpost the journey to our true home with uplifting and joyful memories, wisdom and experiences. Coming home to yourself is true empowerment. This is the way to arrive where we started and know that place for the first time. So my next show this month is The Secret Doorway to Peace, Strength and Harmony. That sounds exciting. The Secret Doorway to Peace, Strength and Harmony. That's my next show. And if you want to know more about Dhammayanti, go to my website, dhammayanti.store, dhammayanti.store, and I have a beautiful collection, 8 collections of jewelry, and they have beautiful mantras inscribed in Sanskrit. So stay connected to that memory, that connection to inner strength, resilience, patience, all those beautiful things in yourself. That's what the jewelry is. You don't have to use sticky notes like I did. I created a line of jewelry to help strengthen the memory. So go to my website, dhammayanti.store, and check it out. And I'm also on social media, so come and say hi. I've got a Facebook group, Find Your Purpose, Connection, Purpose and Vision. Come and join the group. I'd love to have you along there. And find me on Instagram and on Facebook at Dhammayanti for Your Soul. And I always like to finish the show with some Sanskrit because that is such a beautiful source of fine and beautiful sounds, uplifting pure ideas and intentions and fine vibrations. And it's very dear to my heart. I love it so much. So this is called the perfect prayer, the perfect prayer. Just have a sip of water. So it's the invocation to the Isha Upanishad. That is perfect. This is perfect. From the perfect comes the perfect. And verily the perfect remains. May peace and peace and peace be everywhere. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you for spending time with me on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul. To find out more about Dhammayanti or to get my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, or to purchase my range of beautiful spiritual jewelry, go to my website, dhammayanti.store,
That's damayanti.store. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.